Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. I think it's interesting. I watch my family play and sing, and I know them real well, and I can tell when they're nervous. I don't know why they'd be nervous. Hardly anybody's here today. Praise the Lord. This is a great group of people. We're a little shell-shocked as we're going around to churches that support us. They're different than they used to be. And it's such a refreshing moment to be here with you folks. It really is. And I want to thank the Lord for the good time we've had up till now. I mentioned about being nervous. I can tell when Melissa's nervous because she her bow jumps a little bit. I can tell that. I said, your bow jumped, you know. But you did a good job. You did an excellent job. And I can tell when Emily is nervous because she looks like she's nervous. Yeah. Now, Michael, he never gets nervous. Never mind. Okay. But I thank the Lord for we are the Barretts. There are 20 of us, and all of us are serving the Lord together in Brazil. I have 5 children, 2 that went to Brazil, 3 that were born in Brazil, and the ones that were born in Brazil, have grown up, and they have married Brazilians. And Melissa, the one who played the violin, is my granddaughter. She is the daughter of Lisa and Josias, the pastor, Brazilian pastor there in Brazil. And I asked if we could bring her along, and they said, it's up to you if you want to be responsible for her. So it's been, so pray for us. No, we, and we'll be all together in July in Knoxville for the month. It's, say, how did you do that? It was only of the Lord. It was planning the logistics of a thing like that. You can't even imagine. But we'll be there, and we'll be all going around and serving the Lord and singing and playing and together. Now, of course, you know my son, Tim. I felt a little offended this morning. Where Carol is sitting here. Carol, where are you? Carol and I went to school together. Graduated together, 1964. And she said, you know, Tim looks just like you did years ago. That's offensive to me. I was much better looking than that. I had more hair, too. I said, mine's turning white and his is turning loose. And, you know, all those things happen when you get older. But one of the things that the pastor and we were talking about until the wee hours of the morning were about you folks, you know, about Williamsport. And good things. They're all good things, you know, sort of, you know. No, we were talking about people that we knew over the years. And of course, he found out that I lived around here and grew up around here. And it was an interesting experience. We had a great time. I remember when we were sitting in our living room type of a thing that we had there. And it was kind of late. And all of a sudden, something flew by. And your pastor looked around, and he knew what it was, and we knew what it was, too. We were trying to kind of, it was a cockroach. And it flew from one end to the other, and then that hardy landed, and all of a sudden, a mouse ran through the room, you know. And he saw that mouse going through the room, and he said, it's an interesting place here. So we have all types of things in Brazil, monkeys and cockroaches and mice and you name it. We still have them. We're still battling these things. But I'm going to pray. I told the pastor I think he was joking with me. He said, if you finish before noon, you'll be a hero. Who doesn't want to be a hero, you know? So I don't mind being a, if I don't mind if I'm a hero or not, but I would like to hang on to my support. So I'll try to, but we'll pray and I'll share a few things with you this morning. I really came here to be a blessing, to challenge. You've seen what we're trying to do in Brazil, and so we just want to share a few thoughts with you before we finish up and have a good time around the table in a few minutes. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity of being here this morning, Tabernacle Baptist Church. We're thankful, Lord, for the joy of being able to renew friendships of many, many years. We're thankful, Lord, for Pastor Long and his family. We're thankful, Father, for their faithfulness to you and for the blessing that they have been to us. We remember with great joy his time in Brazil. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that his church, his ministry has been behind our ministry through these years. And we're so grateful to them. And we pray that your blessings would continue upon this pastor and, Lord, this ministry. Now, Father, help us that we might share with the people a few things that are on our hearts, that we might, Lord, be an encouragement, that people might have us on their minds to pray for us and to continue to stand behind us as we go back to Brazil here in a couple of weeks. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and glorious name. Amen. Well, first of all, Pastor and folks here at the Tabernacle Baptist Church, I want to express our deep felt appreciation for all that you've done for us. And I say that from the heart. We are grateful. We've tried to be faithful in preaching and teaching God's word all these years. Your church has been supporting us for a number of years, and I realize we're going through difficult times. These are difficult days. Spiritually speaking, difficult days. Did you drink out of this water here, Pastor?
Just once.
I'm going to leave that alone. So we've been trying to hold firm on the Word of God. I think it's necessary, unfortunately it's necessary, that we check up every now and then to find out if the ministry, in this case if the missionary, still has the same position that he did when you took him on years ago. And that's not always the case. I was talking to a young lady. She was mentioned that she graduated also from Tennessee Temple University years ago. I said, isn't it a shame that we don't even have a school anymore? And, you know, some schools grow, become liberal, and ours just disappeared. Got liberal before that, but it was sad. And she said she was so sad by that. And I remember I read the internet, and I saw those things happening, and I cried. It was the saddest thing to think that a thing I never thought I would live to see the day. Excuse me, this gentleman doesn't believe that the pastor really only took one sip out of this. You can take this and back. I don't think he was truthful, tell you the truth. Now I feel more relaxed. Oh, that's better. We have tried to be biblical in our position, Pastor, in preaching and in teaching all that we claim to believe more than 41 years ago when we went to Brazil as missionaries. And our position in doctrine, our position in practice has not changed one half of an inch, less than that, in all these 41 years. We continue to preach the whole counsel of God. We still take a stand for soul winning, for church planting, for godly Christian music that honors the Lord, for separation from the world, and for a walk and a practice that honors our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we stood for years ago, and that's exactly where we stand today. As a matter of fact, our church is a trailblazer in Brazil in these areas. You notice different parts of our ministry. We actually have a help ministry for other missionaries and other churches to help them to keep on going on. And these are discouraging days. My son Tim works a lot with music. He has a course called Music in the Balance. And he has gone around to different churches in Brazil, flying to different places, giving lessons, teaching them, trying to get good or keep good music in the churches. And now he has what he calls Music in a Balance 2.0. He's going further because we see a tendency for the music in Brazil and in here in the United States is going in a direction that unfortunately is leading churches in directions that do not honor the Lord. And so we take a real strong position on these things. God has certainly not changed, and the Bible hasn't changed. So consequently, we as your missionaries to Brazil have not changed. So we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. And all these years, I'm going to say apoio, that's support. We appreciate that. And we ask that you pray for us as we continue to try together, you here and us there, to live a godly Christian life in the midst of what God calls a crooked and perverse generation. Once again, thank you so much for your support. And it is generous support. We were joking about that, but it isn't a joke. We appreciate your generous support, and may God bless you for it. In Psalm 71, if you would like to go along with me for just a few seconds, in verses 5 through 9, the psalmist was speaking about old age. And he says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Then verse 16 says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine. O Lord, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown, till I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." You know, we've been home a few times on furlough in the past 41 years. This last stretch was 15 years. A little bit exaggerated, I guess, but our family has never lived from furlough to furlough. I decided years ago that God called us to Brazil, and for me it was a lifetime calling. And so we raised our children to love Brazil, and to want to be in Brazil, and to love the ministry, and love the Brazilian people. And some of them love them so much, they married them. So we come home on furlough because it's necessary, but furlough is never, a year's furlough is never, never good on ministries. And so we wanted to make sure that when we did come, we had a strong base there, and we wouldn't be going back and trying to redo something that fell apart. But each time I've always tried to bring messages that have been challenging, messages that would cause people to remember the Barrett family and remember Brazil. And so over the years, I've tried to prepare messages, Bible messages, of course, but messages that would encourage people and cause people to realize the great need for foreign missions and also to remember us. Now, one of the first messages I preached years ago was about the little boy in missions from John, where the feeding of the 5,000, how the Lord Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread, and then he gave it to his disciples, and his disciples distributed it to the people that were sitting on the grass. And I said, that's where we are today. We stand today where the disciples stood between the Lord Jesus, the bread of life, and the multitudes. And that's where we all are. We have access to the bread of life, to the wonderful word of God, and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we take that and we distribute it to the multitudes. And so that was one of my first messages. And then I preached a message about a postage stamp. I don't know if anyone, if I preached it here or not, but I compared the missionary to a postage stamp. And I said, we're kind of like a postage stamp. We go where we're sent. We represent a country. We don't give up even when we're licked. And, let me see. Another one was we stick to the task, you know. Then I preached a message on reasons why I'm glad I'm a missionary. And that was a lot easier to prepare. Missions, reasons why you're glad you're a missionary. That's not too hard. But then after that, some years later, I preached a message on reasons why I hate being a missionary. And that always got people's attention. You know, that, you know, a missionary is not supposed to hate being a missionary. But there are certain things that I dislike about being a missionary. And I put a couple of them things, but I added one these days. I added one that I just discovered. I hate being a missionary because you have to come home and get a haircut from a guy that never cut your hair before and will never cut it again, you know? Boy, I tell you what, we went to the barber the other day, and I decided to let Tim go first, and I'm not stupid. They don't call me the old man for nothing, you know? So he went first, and the barber got that. They're in Brazil. Well, our daughter cuts it. Abigail cuts all of our hair. And so I haven't had a clipper on my head for years. It's always scissors. She always does it with scissors. So Tim gets on the chair, and he stands back with one hand in his pocket. And I thought, oh, my. Michael, my grandson, and Tim's son, sat there with me, and we looked at each other, and he got to laughing. I thought, oh, boy, that's... I said, Michael, you're next. Well, we got our hair cut. I think it lasted till the end of July. But one of the things about I don't like about being a missionary is flying. I hate to fly. I don't like flying in planes. I do it because I have to do it. I don't sit there apavorado. I don't sit there. What's apavorado? All shook up, scared to death. But I don't like flying, and of course a missionary has to fly. And sometimes a lot. And then I don't like learning a foreign language. When I was in school years ago, Carol, I did everything I could. The reason why we end up in the same class is because we didn't have to learn a foreign language. And for me, that was planned. I was not going to learn a foreign language. I didn't want to learn German. I didn't want to learn Spanish. I didn't want to learn Latin. I just wanted to be left alone. And so... We had the business course, which has been a great blessing to me over the years. I've probably used it more than any other thing. But I didn't want to learn a foreign language. And also, I don't like being a foreigner. And in Brazil, for 41 years, I've been a foreigner. There's hardly a day goes by that someone doesn't come up to me and say, "You're not from here, are you?" If I leave the house, I'm going to hear that because of my accent. And then I don't like saying goodbye. Terrible to say goodbye. Said goodbye to my brother yesterday. I have a brother that lives in South Williamsport, and he hugged me, and we cried, and it's so hard to say goodbye. In Brazil, we have two goodbyes. We have one we say tchau, and that means, I'll see you Wednesday night, I'll see you this afternoon, I'll see you tomorrow. Then when we say adios, that's a more permanent thing. That means I won't see you for a long time, maybe I'll never see you again on this side of eternity, or let's say on this side of heaven. We say adios. And I never liked that. I never liked that part of the missionary life, to have to say goodbye. I like to just stick home and say, that's why I always take Lydia with me, you know. I either have to take her with me or kiss her goodbye. So I decided to take, that was a joke, folks. Boy, it's dangerous telling a joke around here. Getting in trouble, don't you? But I hated to do that, and so I would talk about these things. I hate learning a language. I hate flying. I hate being a foreigner. I hate saying goodbye. And then I twisted around, and I showed that these things that I so-called hate were the greatest blessings in my life. Because I learned a foreign language, because I learned a Portuguese language, I was able to preach to multitudes in the Portuguese language. And because I fly in an airplane, I go to a country that I can preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and so forth. And although I hate saying goodbye, there will be a time when we'll never say goodbye again. Amen. You know? We'll never say goodbye in glory, as the song says. In the 14th chapter of Joshua, we read where Joshua made known to the people the inheritance that each tribe would receive. You remember, of course, many years before this, Moses had sent out 12 spies, and they went to search out the land. And of course, 10 of them came back with a bad report, but Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who really believed God's promise and really believed that God was... had given the land to them, and it was going to be a great blessing. But during this time in the 14th chapter of Joshua, Caleb speaks up and speaks out, and he says, I'm 85 years old, but I'm not ready to quit yet. I'm 85 years old. I'm an old man now. I'm an elderly man now, but I'm not ready to quit. I want that inheritance. I want that mountain. And you, of course, you're familiar with that song, I Want That Mountain. And he wanted Hebron. He wanted that mountain. He wanted a place, not an easy place. He wanted a place that was filled with danger, that was filled with a warring, strong, powerful tribe of people. But Joshua, at 85 years old, he said in verse 11, he said, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." And we see here a great spirit and a great attitude in the life of Caleb, who said at 85 years old, he was 40 years old, he went out to spy, and now at 85, he says, I am ready, I'm not ready to quit yet. I have a lot of things I want to do for the Lord. I want that inheritance. I want to serve the Lord. Now here's a man 85 years of old of age that could have been taking advantage of the benefits of being elderly, but he wanted that great inheritance. I'm 71 years old today. Not today, but I was yesterday too. Hopefully I will be tomorrow. I'm not ready to quit. Some people call me an elderly man. It's amazing. As you can continue to get older, that age seems younger than it used to, you know. 70 years old to me when I was a young person, that was Methuselah. That was an old guy. All of a sudden, 71 seems kind of young to me. And if you notice, we have prayer cards. Be sure to take our prayer card. Folks, if you don't get a blessing by the music, if you're not blessed by the message, you have to be blessed if you get this prayer card. I mean, just look at that. Yeah, it's hard to find a 71-year-old as good-looking as that guy is, you know. So please take our prayer card. If you feel like it, get Tim's too. But we do want you to have our prayer cards. And I want you to know I was just speaking very seriously. Okay. Now, I'd like to quickly share with you, and it will be quickly. I was thinking about the advantages of being an old guy on the mission field. Now, you're supporting me. My hope is that you will continue to support me. Some of you guys, you Earmones as brothers. Some of the brothers got together, Pastor. I'm sure they said, you know, when this guy comes home off the field, let's dump him because he's an old man. Did anybody say that to you? No. You knew they were thinking that, weren't you? So I thought, I'm going to preach a message on the advantages of being an elderly man, an older man on the mission field. You say, what advantage could that be? Well, you're going to find out real quickly. I remember this thing about getting older is really an interesting thing. I recognize people here that looked a whole lot different years ago, but I could see your eyes, and I'm not going to say who they were, but I look at people and immediately the Lord was good to me. I remembered them from their eyes and so forth. But I've never been back to a high school graduation. I graduated in 1964 from Warrior Run High School. Never been back to one. I said to myself, why do I want to go back and have a party with a bunch of old fogies, you know? So they remember me, and I was 18 years old. There's no way I'm going to leave it that way, folks. Just a couple people have seen me the way as I look today. But what are the advantages of being an elderly man on a mission field? Psalm 71 says, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So what are the advantages? Well, years ago, I mentioned that I did everything not to learn a foreign language. I just didn't want to learn a foreign language. I thought I was probably too stupid to learn it anyway. So let me say that every new missionary has to learn the language of the people to whom he is called. When we were in language school years ago, it was frightening because the mission board would say, you know, you've got to get this language down. You got to get it well, because if you don't learn the language, you know, what are you going to do? Go back home. So I was just so concerned about learning Portuguese. And I remember one of the first things we did when we got into language school is we practiced Brazilian names. I don't know whose smart idea that was. I guess it was to encourage us, but it wasn't very encouraging to me because we couldn't speak it, but they said, now this, we're going to start out by having you pronounce Brazilian names. Names like Joaquim Francisco da Silva, Maria Conceição Mendes. How about this one? Aline Luzia Aparecida Massari. That last one's my daughter-in-law today. Okay. Good thing I learned the language. Actually, her name is now Aline Luzia Aparecida Massari Barrett. Okay. And you saw her in the video there with our son David, and they have a little boy named Benjamin that I'm just dying to see here in a couple weeks. I miss the little guy. I kind of grew up liking him, you know, or he grew up liking me. But I thought to myself, how in the world will I ever learn this language? I can't even say their names. Terrible. And so I remember the first day we were in Brazil, I was down in Santos along the ocean trying to get our barrels out of the customs. And Ladiville was home in some missionary family. Another missionary came by, and he's with the Lord now. I think maybe God killed him. No. But he said to Lydiabel, he said, he looked at her, he said, repeat after me. Jesus é o Filho de Deus. And so Lydiabel, first day in Brazil, Jesus é o Filho. She tried. He said, you're going to have a hard time learning this language. How's that for the first day in Brazil? It's been 41 years since then, and she speaks very well. But and incidentally, that was Jesus is the Son of God, okay? But I was looking one day in the Wikipedia encyclopedia about Portuguese. I was always curious to know about it. It said, Portuguese verbs display a high degree of inflection. A typical regular verb in Portuguese has over 50 different forms, expressing up to 6 different grammatical tenses and 3 moods. And they use every one of them, too, believe me. So after 41 years, I've had a lot of time as an old guy to practice Portuguese. Amen? New missionaries will go there, but they're going to have to learn the language. So when I go back to Brazil here in a month or so, you know that I'm not going to be spending 3 or 4 years learning the language. I already have the language down. And that's the advantage, one of the advantages of being an old man on the mission field. Another advantage, and I have the opportunity to preach in the Word of God in a language spoken by in Brazil of over 208 million people. And if I had to, I could speak to people in Portugal and in Cape Verde and in Guinea-Bissau and Mozambique and Angola and São Tomé and Príncipe. So I thank the Lord that He made me learn a foreign language. And I'm thankful, Lord, that after all these years there, where God has placed us in the 5th largest country in the world, both in population and in area. The second advantage of being an old man in the mission field is that there's a greater respect for the elderly in Brazil. Now, there are 2 groups of people in Brazil that are treated with respect. Expectant mothers and old guys like me. And so Proverbs 20 verse 29 says, the beauty of old men is the gray head. Amen. Didn't hear very many amens, but I'm sure it was in your heart. One day I was getting my license renewed some months ago, and it was Brazil does things differently than they do here in many ways, but it was a huge, huge complex, and there were a lot of lines you had to wait in. One is to get your fingerprints, and then you go get your picture, and then you go get interviewed, and a doctor gives you a physical exam. You know, can you see my finger up? How many numbers do I have? Oh, 2, okay. Then you had to go stand another line, and I was standing this huge line, and the guy next to me on the other line, he says, he looks at my gray hair, and he said, you know, you don't have to stand here, you know. He said, you can just go right up to the front of the line. Well, I knew that, but, you know, I don't like to push my weight around too much, using that authority I have as an old guy. So, but to please him, I went up to the front of the line, and boy, I went through like that. Even I go on visitation. You know, we will go to someone's door, or we see people out. When they see my son, they kind of step back a little bit, you know. But when they see my gray hair, they don't. They're very relaxed. You see, folks, that was another joke. You know, you. I'm gonna make a sign. I said, this was a joke, you know. But actually, they like elderly people in Brazil, and so now that I'm finally getting some respect, you think I want to leave Brazil? I would like to stay, if you don't mind. But you know, there's another reason why the great advantage of being a missionary in Brazil is I'll never be a first-term missionary. It's sad to say that I've seen a lot of missionaries come, and I've seen a lot of missionaries go in Brazil and other parts of the world. For various reasons. Sometimes it's for health reasons. Sometimes it's for culture shock reasons. A lot of times people just, I know the pastor came down. He was very gracious, but I'm sure he was glad to go back home too, you know. It's a different place to live. It's different than the United States. And boy, the first year that I was in Brazil, our first term, I was looking for all types of reasons why we might not be able to stay. You know, We spend a lot of time in the bathroom. I thought maybe this food's not going to be so good for me. Maybe I better go back home. You know, this is kind of tough stuff. You know, I caught a cold. Yeah, this, you know, you catch colds easy there in Brazil. You know, I could catch a cold, get pneumonia, and die. Maybe better go back home. But a lot of things. I was thinking when we went to Brazil with our first term. I think the Lord allows you to be tested. He'll not test you above what you're able to endure. And that's all, always remember that. But we went through times of testing. I remember when Lydia and I were married in 1969, we were married by the same man that married the Reddins that are here today. Dr. G. Blair Hemmons, which was Lydia Bill's father. He was a founder of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, was pastor of Central Baptist years ago, and then he left the convention in 1955, and then he began the Independent Baptist Church. He was a fighter, and he's passed that on to his son-in-law and his grandson, and we're all fighting to hold forth and the Word of God and to preach and to take a stand and always do that which we believe pleases our Lord. But he married us, and 2 weeks after he married us, we were the last couple that he married. My brother was telling me that he oftentimes was reading the paper, has read in the paper, years people, they were married, they had their 50th, they had their 60th wedding anniversary, and they were married by my father-in-law. But we were the last couple that he married, and 2 weeks after we were married, the Lord took him home to be with the Lord. We were in Tennessee Temple at that time, and we had to come back. And then when we went to the mission field, 2 weeks after we left for the mission field, the Lord called her mother to be with the Lord. So they were hard times, but the Lord gave us his help and grace, and we stuck with it. And so we've been there 41 years. So one thing you don't have to be afraid of, we're not going to be first-term missionaries anymore. I don't know what term this is, but we're going back by God's grace and God's help. And as Tim said in his words this morning, we strongly believe that we're co-laborers. You know, sometimes a missionary comes, and we tried to be honest. We tried to show pictures as it really are. We didn't invent things, and this is what we are, what we stand for. And we are grateful for your ministry here. And we couldn't make it. If people stop supporting you, you can't make it. And we do lose. As you get older, churches change, and pastors leave the church, and other. And we lose support. When you get my age, you don't gain support. Who wants to support an older man on a mission field? Usually they don't. They say, well, you've been there for 41 years. You must be doing all right. So we're grateful, and we feel like we're co-laborers. As you mentioned about you leading that person to the Lord, and we oftentimes lead people to the Lord, but we forget, or maybe we don't forget, that other people have watered, other people have sown, other people have prayed over that. And so we are co-laborers, and God gives the increase. And so one day when we're standing before our Lord, isn't it going to be wonderful to rejoice together in Brazilians that have been saved, not because of the Barrett family, but because of all of us that have been serving the Lord together in Brazil all these years. And then the fourth reason I'm glad I'm in Brazil as an older man is I have a lot of spiritual children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in Brazil. The last Sunday before we came to the States this time, a couple weeks ago, did you see that couple that was talking about she said they're expecting Lucas, their baby? Lucas was born. And they asked me if I would, they call it dedicate. I say I dedicate the parents to serve the Lord. And, you know, it's not an ordinance of the church, but they like to present their children. So we did. And they stood up there, and it's always an emotional time, and somebody plays beautiful music, and I challenge the parents to walk close to the Lord and raise little Lucas to understand the Bible and be saved one day. And then at the end, I ask the church, all of you who will stand by this family and support them and pray for them, help them stand up. And then I take the little guy in my arms, and I give him a kiss and hold him up like, you know, the Lion King. So. And it's a wonderful moment. The mom and dad were children that were saved in our ministry.
Hey, wow. Amen. Yeah.
The boy that you saw, the man, he was ordained to the ministry. He's 43 years old. He's going to get married when I get back. They're waiting for me to get back, so I can't take too much time. He's waiting to get married. Waiting to 43 years to get married, you know he's pretty eager to, you know. So we thought he'd never get married, but he was insistent that the Lord had someone for him, and the Lord did, a wonderful Christian girl. But he was 10 years old when he was saved at the camp of our church. So you see, I'm seeing a lot of, I go around the city, I see people that know me. And I remember one day I was walking down the street and a man was, well, he was drunk. But he saw me from the other side of the street and he said, "Homem de Deus, man of God." He knew who I was. I've been around the block a few times, folks. And I'm so glad that God, I'm so glad that he called me a man of God, first of all. And I'm so glad that we've been in Brazil all these years. But the greatest reason of all, and I finish up with this, and I think I'll make it before noon, Pastor. I'm so glad I'm still in Brazil at 71 years old. Because our Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous." That's not the problem. It's plenteous here. As a matter of fact, it's almost hard to believe. You wonder, who is saved? I was praying these days. I said, "Lord, I can see why the disciples said, 'Lord, who then can be saved?'" And he said, "With God, all things are possible." So we just keep on going on. Amen? We keep on witnessing, giving out tracts, inviting people, praying for people. But he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few." And that's what we have found. We don't find missionaries coming to Brazil like they did years ago. And it's still open. It's socialist. Our city's government was communist here up until recently. But we have an opportunity to preach. But it's obviously not going to stay that way a lot longer. And so we've had an opportunity to be there all these years. But he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." As I read that verse, I say to myself, how could I ever leave Brazil? I can't. The need is too great. I have seen some people leave because of health reasons. And there's no one to take their place. Right. I'm so thankful that God has given me a portion of strength and health, my wife, that we can continue in Brazil until the Lord calls us home or until we all go together. Someone said in the group plan. That's what I'm looking forward to, going into group plan. But I want to thank you again for the opportunity of being your missionaries to Brazil. Our Lord said that the labors are few, the need is great. So we need to do one of three things, and this is almost like a cliche. We need to go. And I don't know. I was a young person. As a matter of fact, I was a young person in a church here in the city years ago when the Lord spoke to my heart about going to Brazil. And we went to Brazil. And some people, I'm sure, Carol, when you knew me in school, you didn't expect me to be a missionary to Brazil for 41 years. She didn't even expect me to be a Christian. No, we were both practically, seemed like the only two that were truly born again. I don't know, maybe there are others, but you don't know what God's going to do with your life. And I want you to know that I'm extremely happy to be in Brazil. As a matter of fact, I sort of would like to go back tomorrow, but I'm going to stay to the end of July, okay? I grumble about things in Brazil. This isn't right, and that isn't right, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. But as I get back here, all of a sudden, those things I thought were so just agreeable. They just seem so wonderful to me. I'm thankful that God called me there. And I'm thankful that he put it in my heart to go there. And if the Lord would put that in your heart. A lady was talking to me before the service that the Lord spoke to her years ago about going to Africa. But she didn't go to Africa. And she felt sad about that. But the Lord gave her a son who is a pastor today. So we need to be conscious of God's work, God working in our hearts. We need to say, maybe the Lord, listen, I grew up around here. I grew up in McEwensville. You can't be more country than that. I grew up in McEwensville. My ministry has been in a city of almost 500,000 people. But that's the way God works. But then we go and we give. And you have been a generous church. And I don't just say that to say it. It's a fact. And we're grateful for it. And it has been a tremendous help. I'm sure you give sacrificially. But I can tell you that these are two families here that receive it with grateful hearts. And we try to use it for God's glory. To please him. And of course, all of us can pray. Pray. Sometimes you think, what are we going to do? There's some countries where they don't even allow missionaries. As a matter of fact, people talk about the Amazon and the Indians. You can't even get into the Indians in Brazil. The Brazilian government treats them like they're animals in the zoo, like it's their property. They don't allow you. You can go up there and pull their teeth, maybe, and give them a shot, but you're not allowed to go in there and build churches and preach the gospel. And years ago, you could. So things are changing. We need to be careful that we don't lose this opportunity. But he said here, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in his harvest. So that's what we can do. We can pray that the Lord would send people in these places. And of course, if he says to you, I would like you to do it, then obey him. I want to tell you something. It'll be the greatest joy of your life. Sometimes we think that God's will is a miserable thing. You know, God must be kind of mad at me. Or if I surrender for God's will, it's got to be something I'm going to hate. I have 5 children and 7 grandchildren, but my latest one is, he's 4.5 years old. And we'll go to the shopping center, and he's a sneaky little guy. His father will tell him, don't ask granddad for anything, because he asks for everything. So he comes up to me real quiet, like he said, I'm not supposed to ask for anything. And I said, but would you like something? He said, yes. What would you like? A toy. Well, you know what I do, don't you? I use that some of that gift that you gave me, and I buy him a toy. And he makes him so happy. And you know, do you think that God wants us to be less happy than we want our children and our grandchildren and people that we love? No. And so his will is the greatest thing. I would never believe. I look at this part of Pennsylvania. I think, how could anyone be unhappy here? This is like paradise. You folks just don't know what you have and where you live. Maybe you do. But it is one of the most beautiful spots on the face of the earth. Believe me, and I'm in Brazil. Sometimes I think about this place. Then I ask the Lord help me not think about it anymore. But we are so happy to be in Brazil. It's our home. It's our ministry. It's where the multitudes are. The need is great. And I want to thank you for your prayers and for your support. Pray for the Barretts, our families, for our health. And pray for all of our children. We're all serving the Lord. I'm so blessed. You know, I could be here, and maybe that one could be some of you have to part with your children. God has been good to me. They love Brazil, and now they're serving him. We're all serving together in different capacities. So pray, and if God speaks to your heart, just do what he wants you to do. You'll not regret it. Let me tell you, you'll not regret it. God bless you. Pastor.